2.
On America Tonight, as we slide into the weekend, there's some movie reviews, including Bruno. I don't know if it's going to be a big hit at the box office or not, but remember Brat? That was, or Borat? That was huge. So it could dovetail into another one of these successful things for Sacha Baron Cohen. We'll talk about that when we get to the movie portion of America Tonight. Plus, birthdays this day in history and news you can abuse. Let's face it, we all need a laugh now and then, right? Kate, as always, thrilled to be the captain of this ship, and I will tell you that I am wide awake and I am not texting. It is absolutely ridiculous what is happening to the metro in Washington, D.C. Did you hear about this story? Let me tell you, I am not exaggerating. You had one metro operator who was texting clearly, had his, it looked like a camera phone, BlackBerry, whatever, between his knees, and he was texting while he was driving. Now, and that was all over YouTube, now somebody caught one of the operators asleep. Yeah, asleep while driving. And, of course, most of it is automated, but you still run risk. I mean, remember that horrible accident we just had in D.C. of not being able to throw on that emergency brake or do whatever it is that you have to do. And ultimately, I certainly know that they don't want to see at the metro, at the D.C. metro, they don't want to see people sleeping on the job or texting, particularly after what's happened. I got to say, more and more people find out about it. It's being blown up all over the place, I'm sure, in Washington. You might have people that are going to say, well, forget it. I'll find some other form of transportation, unless they're completely stuck, not knowing how safe they are on these trains. When you have, within a week period, one guy who texted getting a week suspension and another guy now sleeping, I'm sure he's going to get it. And here's what happened. A 14-year-old kid took the video of the guy who was sleeping. Because, you know, they all have camera phones, right? So he saw, took a picture, took a video of the guy, and then sent it to Metro. And this was the day after the deadliest crash in their history. So at first, I guess, and I looked at it, I watched the video, at first he's sort of dozing off. He's dozing off. And he's not really in a full sleep. He's dozing off. His head is going limp. You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever had one of those moments in your life and you were just stupid and you kept driving? You're driving between states and or you're driving somewhere and you're exhausted and you do the head nod. Then you know you have to pull over. Someone else has to drive and you need to get off the road. Well, that's what was happening on this train. So the guy who texted got suspended. I'm sure this guy, something will happen to him. But they announced a new policy that If anybody does this, any of the operators do the, you know, fall asleep or text or anything like that, it's automatic termination. So the good news is, I guess, for the people of D.C., they might feel a little safer knowing that there's no more three strikes and you're out policy. It's zero tolerance policy for Metro bus or Metro rail people if they're using a cell phone, texting, any of that kind of stuff. I mean, thank goodness, ridiculous, especially after what just happened there. And I'm wondering in all these other cities just how safe you really are. You might have more people driving. All right, so obviously that's a huge blunder. The guy falls asleep, the other guy texts, and now they've nipped that because they've got cameras set up, so they're not going to be able to get away with it. They'd have to come up with something really clever to be able to do that. Maybe on breaks they can text and do whatever, but not while they're running the trains. This doesn't have anything to do with trains, but it has to do with dogs. And it's outrageous. And it's something that is a cultural thing for a lot of people. It's a betting thing. It's a blood sport. And it's happening all over the place in the United States. We saw what happened with Michael Vick. Here he had the world by the tail, quarterback for the Falcons, and once he was involved with that dogfighting ring and they nailed him with that conviction, he is in that rebuilding phase after serving time, right? And it drew a lot of attention to dogfighting because he was so well known. So here we go again, a huge raid. In fact, the biggest raid coordinated-wise in U.S. history. 400 dogs, some of them were about to have puppies, were rescued in these raids. The feds were involved, on the state level they were involved, locally they were involved, in six states, Missouri, Illinois, Texas, Oklahoma, Iowa, and Mississippi. So it is a felony in all 50 states. How much will the people get? It depends on what they were doing, what they caught them on, what they're charging them with. One of the people was a Little League coach. Another was a nurse. One was a well-respected businessman. And what, of course, happens in the end is they get rid of the dogs. And they had evidence of them setting them on fire and putting them in a barrel, throwing their carcasses in the river, and just, you know, some of the most inhumane things that you could possibly think of. So maybe I'm missing something here. I said this earlier. What do you think somebody should get for being involved in dog fighting? Was the Michael Vick sentence on par with what some of these people should serve? Or do you think it's out of proportion compared to other things that are felonies and that happen in this country? Scott is listening to us in Wisconsin. Hey, Scott.
Yes, how you doing tonight?
Good. What's on your mind?
I don't want to change the subject, but it, God bless you there. I just love listening to the freedom of speech. I just wanted to let your listeners know that we have something that we have to really take serious. And this is the hate crime speech bill that passed the House of Representatives already, and they are going to try to sneak it by America with the defense authorization bill, I believe, the middle of next week. And if, should that happen, this will affect the First Amendment of our Constitution, of our Bill of Rights, and it's to the point where they say if you say that Jesus was killed by the Jews, you can be arrested. So we have to let all the truckers know across this nation, all America, to stand up, to call their senators that they knock this bill down, because they're going to go after pastors, they're going to go after the bloggers, and they're definitely going to go after the news people if we say something that hurts feelings. And they already passed this up in Canada, and this is such a serious deal. If they pass this in our Senate, then our other amendments could be in big trouble. And I just wanted you to comment on that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad that we've talked about it a ton here on America Tonight about that. We've talked about freedom of speech many, many, many times, and about hate crimes, because on the heels of what happened, of course, at the Holocaust Museum, and the fact that the guy was on a bunch of, you know, racist websites, whatever, and I said this, it's horrible and disgusting and whatever, but I would fight for the freedom of speech for anyone, because the problem is, where you start to cherry pick, you're absolutely right, then we start to live in a country where more and more rights are taken away. We live in the greatest country in the face of the earth, and why? Freedom of speech is a huge part of that. More on that on the flip side. Hang with us.
Your relationships are a mirror of you.
That's good news, because it means you have the power to effect positive change in the quality of love you create in your life.
It's all up to you.
Join us, Joseph and Sarah Malinak, for Creating Your Ideal Relationship on WebTalkRadioNetwork.com.
We'll help you create loving, ideal relationships. Give us a listen at WebTalkRadioNetwork.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-800-8255. 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, this is John Swenson again at Midas Resources, and let me ask just one question. What would you list as the things that the federal government does really well? The armed forces and printing bogus money doesn't count. Now take that blank page of yours and list the ways that you have to protect your assets and escape the paper markets. The only real option is precious metals. For your retirement, your kids' education, or just plain survival when the whole Obama mess comes crashing down. You are the only one you can count on for a stimulus package. And I'd like to discuss a proven strategy to create that safety net for you and your family. Please give me a call at 800-686-2237, extension 128. That's 800-686-2237, extension 128. And together we can develop a make sense program before the clock runs out. Once more, John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128. And take charge of your future, and thank you.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop, thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's N-U-R-E-V Online.com. NuRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
It up, and I think most people that regularly listen to America Tonight know how I feel about the hate crimes bill. I say no, it is a giant threat to liberty in a nutshell, and the problem is because of how far the bill would stretch. If you look at the House of Representatives, easily went through, right? So now the Senate is taking it up as well. The House bill, the wild debate, of course, was over they would add the sexual orientation and gender identity to the bill as well. And part of why this bill came about is because of what happened to Matthew Shepard, which was of course a terrible, outrageous, horrible thing. But once again, it gets twisted into something that ultimately I think is something that would take away too many liberties. And this is the thing. It's an unthinkable, I think, scenario that's being put forth in the hate crimes bill. So, in other words, it's such a threat to freedom of speech. Because you think of religious freedom, you think of freedom of speech, right? And with this vote in the Senate, if you've got anybody, you think of evangelical churches, any church, really, he's right. Certainly, I urge people to call and express themselves on this one, too. And the thing is, the PC police, political correctness, that's what it's all about, because it dovetails on the Matthew Shepard case, which was horrendous. But, you know, when people commit crimes, of course, they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, no doubt, if it's against people or property or any of that other kind of stuff. But now when you're talking about words and when you're talking about motivations and where you could go with the hate crimes, as I said, in a nutshell, there is no question it would go against our civil liberties, frankly. It would, again, and it'll probably stall is what's going to happen. There's no way, I don't say there's no way, but it seems like they might not get to it before the break, the summer break. So it might kick up again in the fall, just like climate control. And, I mean, there's lots of debate over this, about the rights and tolerating, and why should you tolerate hate against people that are vulnerable, like for sexual orientation reasons or whatever. But see, this is, again, where it goes too far. Because if somebody, like in the Matthew Shepard case of murder, then if you're murdering someone because they're transgender or whatever they are, to me that's completely different, and they should be thrown in jail, etc. But it's different when you're talking about speech, because then everybody has a different view. Like, it's just like talking about dog fighting. Tomas from Michigan calls in, and he doesn't get that there's anything wrong with dog fighting. He says, "Hey, I don't see it. I don't understand. We're not talking about humans, whatever." And he can express himself on a radio show. Well, you take that a step further with some of the things we've said. It's like talking about gay marriage. If you don't agree with gay marriage and you think the union should be between a man and a woman, well, you know, imagine expressing yourself on certain websites, blogging, etc., or calling radio shows. It's like the Fairness Doctrine and being shut down. What are the greatest things that our founding fathers fought for? Freedom of speech is one of them, obviously. Freedom of the press is another one. And so we understand about civil rights, and we understand about heinous, disgusting crimes. But at the same time, what has been expanded to be included, and what you determine what is hate, and how much credence you give that when somebody ultimately were to be convicted, man, it could be really dangerous. And we're going down a path that you don't want to go down, that gray area. You don't want to go down there. It's like somebody said to me, well, if you wanted to argue, wouldn't rape be a hate crime? Because isn't that against women? Isn't that a horrible hatred, a searing hatred of women? So would we prosecute that as, would a serial rapist be guilty of hate crime as well? How would you prosecute that? And see, that's the thing. I mean, how do you, you know, what ultimately determines what is that hate crime? It is such a dangerous gray area that and especially the way it's been broad, that the Shepard Bill federalizes basically crimes, too, as well, that belong in state courts, something that happens in the state. So then that's a jurisdiction thing that would be added on that as well. Yeah, let's hope that doesn't go through, because clearly I can see lots of challenges that would end up in the Supreme Court. And think of the things. Bigotry, misogyny. You can take any word. You could take male, female. You could take racism. As I said, a great example is the idiot that went into, and I'm being kind, that went into the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and then a guard who was doing nothing other than his job ends up dead because this guy wants to prove a point. I hate the Jews, so I'm going to go into the Holocaust Museum and fire off a bunch of shots. And, of course, he ends up in the hospital, not dead. It looked like he might not survive, but he survives. And even his own son distanced himself from him and said he's always been like this, and he's sick in the head, and he's into all these hateful things and racism and anti-Semitic and all this stuff. But at the same time, okay, so you have something like that. Well, what if there's peaceful marches about other things that maybe one person can tolerate and another can't? How do you ultimately determine that? So political correctness, to me, I mean, would take this to a level where we don't want to go. Hate crime laws are a joke, right? I mean, what is crime? What's the idea of the crime? What does it have to do with hate? You have to prosecute, I think, under the same law. Murder, attempted murder, all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's illogical where some of the hatred would rise in certain people. So to me, it would be just too complicated. And also, In a nutshell, it creates more, bigger government. I'm from the Tom Jefferson point of view, smaller government, baby. And then to just jam the courts full of this, good luck in trying to decipher it. Here's the thing. I think that they're going to dodge it, and I think what will happen is it'll stall. It's going to stall in the Senate because of the time frame. In looking at what's on the docket right now, I don't think so. I don't think that they're going to... I don't think they're going to see this pass. I mean, there's people that want it to pass, and there's obviously people who don't want it to pass. But based on what the House version was, I think that even President Obama has said he would veto the bill, according to what how the language read. So that's your other safety net there. I don't think it'll go through the White House, even if it gets through the Senate. I'm pretty sure he's going to veto it. And again, it's going to be because of some of the things that are ultimately included in that bill. You know, we're talking about health care a lot, and that's the one thing that is at the top of the Obama administration's agenda when it comes to things on our shore, right, domestically. So somebody said this to me, and I think Fox even recently did a story on this about health insurance and how well did mandatory health insurance actually work in Massachusetts. If you remember, Mitt Romney was governor then back in 2006, and he mandated health coverage for all the citizens of Massachusetts. And a lot of people thought that that was something that would end up being a great model nationwide. But there were people that were so critical of it because what happened was the cost. So you had 350,000 or more people who were uninsured who had to obey the mandate, and they had to sign up for some form of health coverage. Otherwise, they would get a tax penalty. That's what they were threatening, right? So what would happen is that the people that couldn't afford it and had no choice but had to do it found that the employers found that they couldn't do it. They couldn't afford the kind of coverage that they wanted. There was a huge gap because there was a state subsidy, but there was a funding gap. They ultimately ended up with $150 million a shortfall, and that's what they're seeing now that's happened. And so Governor Deval Patrick started to call on insurers, employers, and hospitals to help cover the costs. The co-pays went sky high. The premiums rose. And, of course, the new cigarette tax as well that went into effect, it wasn't, in the end, as successful as they thought it would be in Massachusetts. So take a look at this, Senate. Hang with us.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worry how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from?
You know that the economy is getting worse, but there is hope. Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
When wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now, 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
You already know that drinking pure, high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline, to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. 269-216-9767 today.
Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time.
Interrupt the Beatles on that one. Hey, all you need is love. Yeah, we don't want hate, but we don't want the hate crimes bill just because of how far the boundaries of that are stretched. And ultimately, I think what it would violate, even the president doesn't want to sign it with some of the caveats that are in there, I'll call them that, that just absolutely go beyond the grays. And we don't want this country to become a dictatorship or big, big, big government. At least I don't want lots of government control. And then I think you get into the problem, as I said, between the states and federal laws and crossing all that over. And ultimately, it's prosecuting people to the fullest extent of the law. In the easiest, simplest way I can explain to you, that's what it is. I murder someone. If I have hatred in my heart because they're Jewish or whatever reason, whatever crazy things are happening in my head that I've been blogging about for 10 years or whatever the circumstances are, I mean, it's ugly, it's awful, but then you're prosecuting me for murder. Why do you throw the hate crimes thing on this? And the reason why is because of ultimately what that bill contains. Yeah, no way. And I think it gets vetoed, as I said, ultimately. So that's the bottom line. Let's go to Dallas. Steve is listening to us in Dallas on KDE. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Kate?
Good.
Yeah, you know, I kind of worry about you lately. I hear this kind of intellectual honesty, groping for the truth, and that's not what this that's not what these people that are trying to run the country are all about. You know who Thomas Sowell is, don't you?
Yeah.
I've heard him say on TV three times now that this is a fascist government. Okay, and that is what they're putting in place. The reason what they're doing is over and over again, like they said, they're going to start treating the treaties that he signed with the Russians as if they've been okayed by the Congress, even though they haven't. And cap and trade, they can't get it in, so they just pass a little law that says, you know, really the EPA can go ahead and take care of this. And then the effect comes down without it ever being passed in a law. They're moving more and more stuff into executive agencies that he can control directly.
Yeah, bizarre.
And so they just said, well, you know, actually, why don't we just say that CO2 is a dangerous thing that the EPA is in charge of? And then, you know, now the EPA can do anything they want. And it's never going to go to Congress. It's never going to get to the Senate. And that is his technique. And it's very, very dangerous, and I wish I could tell you how to stop it, but I can't think of anything that won't have the Secret Service out here at my doorstep. Okay.
Well, there is something people can do, and what it is to be aware of what as the best we can as to what's happening, what things are being voted on, what's being discussed, and to complain, to write the congressmen or the senators. In the cases where we're talking about the hate crime, of course, that's senators. And that's what you do. You push, you push, you push. And eventually, because you know this, Steve-O, everybody wants to be reelected. I say this a million times. So if their constituents rise up and they won't stand for certain things, then guess what? It's not going to pass.
But see,
it's
that's
not
the whole
keep
point,
happening.
Kate. Right. You've taken an end run around that. That's what we're all used to is, let's call my senator. We won't get through the Senate. Well, it doesn't matter. If they just go ahead and kick it over to the EPA...
Yeah.
Then, I mean, it's already been done. The EPA has been given the authority to say that that CO2 is a dangerous pollutant, and therefore they can make up any rules that they want without having to go to Congress. It's the same thing that they with the polar bears. They just said that put polar bears on the endangered species list, even though there's five times as many as there was 50 years ago. They just, and they're not endangered. They just said they are. And now the people that take care of endangered species can do anything that they want in order to protect them. They can say you can't build here, you can't do that there, because it's endangered species. And it never has to go back to Congress.
Yeah. And right, because they've already approved that. You're right. Again, the only thing you can do is, like, with the climate control, is that's one area, brother, where you can still push, because it very razor thin went through the House, and let's see what happens in the Senate. And
I know you can hear me, Kate. It's been done. It doesn't have to go to the Senate anymore if they get it into an executive agency, because all they have been, they're not going to vote on cap and trade.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They'll just do the end around. Well, it's a dangerous thing. Then the EPA can do whatever they want.
It's an end around. It'll never go back to the law. Right,
and
you're
this,
right.
This isn't one thing that they've done this with. I could make you a list of 10.
Yeah,
it's his standard technique. It's like a hidden ball play.
Sure. It's like throwing it off to a committee. I gotcha. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And I don't know how you fight that, but that's the problem, that he keeps taking these things and taking them out of the legislative process. So it doesn't matter what the Senate does, because the EPA is taking care of this, the USDA is taking care of that. I mean, the Agricultural Department is going to have the authority when they pass this next bill to say, to control all food that is brought into, served, or eaten, or sold in any school, which means, and I've seen this happen, they'll tell you you can't bring in soda for a birthday party at a school. And who's going to do that? The USDA is going to do that. It's not a law passed by Congress. So, like I said, I don't know how to fight this, but that's what needs to be fought.
No, sure you do. And the problem is that the fairness doctrine didn't, nothing happened with that. So it's radio, television, media. It's the other side of the media that's not following along, like lemmings. And by voicing opinions, that helps. That's why the fairness doctrine even was brought up, because it got under the skin of so many people that things that were happening, like with illegal immigration, et cetera, was being shoved under the radar. And the more people talk about it, the more it's out there, the more it's flushed out, the more conversation, the more buzz there is about it, that's absolutely one way, by what you just did, by calling radio shows.
They're going for local access, because people don't understand that. You know, now it's going to be local access. You can't have you have to have people that are in the same city. You know, for all of these shows, it just pretty much eliminates nationwide shows.
Right. Right.
So, like I said, you know, what's happening is, you know what happened the first time that they came out and really started throwing forward passes.
Right.
I assume you know the history of football.
So, of course.
I mean, what was it, 119 to 2?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what's happening to us legislatively. He's come up with this trick and nobody knows how to fight it.
Right.
And they've got to stop them from shoving this stuff into executive agencies where he has absolute control and nobody can do anything about it.
Right, but not realizing what's being done, even though the conversation is there, because the cap and trade thing was brought up a million times, and you're right. If you think about it, you think about the, just like at the G8, the numbers that are set, that's exactly what happens. There's an end around, absolutely. Even though still, if the climate bill doesn't go through, it helps a little bit, but you're right. Ultimately, if you have a federal mandate on the CO2, then you're stuck.
That's right, because the EPA does not go to Congress with their regulations. They make them
doesn't
up
matter.
Completely independently.
Right, so that means we would have to, it would be law. So it would, whatever the standard is, it would be what you would have to abide by. I mean, everybody would be forced. Everybody would, exactly.
That's right, and so we've actually come to a situation here where the president is running the country directly without all that silly stuff with those, whatever, 465 people over there in the funny building with the dome.
I like that. I like the way you think the 465. What'd you say, 465?
I don't know.
Funny
the exact
people?
Yeah. All right. Well,
you're
look.
Close. All right, Steve-O, I got you.
Give me that address.
I will.
Thanks
for the phone call. So he's right. I mean, his point, at first I didn't get where he was going with it, but he's right. If the EPA sets the standard, if the standard is there, then ultimately some of what the whole climate control bill is about. Now, there are other things in that bill that would be shot down, at least temporarily, if the Senate doesn't approve it. I mean, that stalls that, but the Senate's not going to get to it till the fall anyway. So there still are things that you want to be conscious of that are part of that, but the CO2 levels and what's being thrown out there for cap and trade, ultimately it would be an end around, because it would become law, so you would have to abide by the EPA standards that have been set. Hang with us.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
The president said about cutting greenhouse emissions, and of course the G8, that was what it was all about, and India and China didn't jump into it, so they were perceived as the bad guys in what was happening in Italy, and most of the conversation seemed to center on that. And of course everybody on stage, and Obama saying the leaders are coming together to work on the climate, kind of piggybacks on what Steve was talking about. Boy, what an interesting hour on America Tonight, bringing up some scary things happening. The hate bills, if that the hate bill, the crimes bill, if that passes, what does that mean? What ultimately happens with the carbon emissions and the so-called carbon footprint and all that sort of stuff? But leaders of both the industrialized powers and the emerging economies did agree on setting a goal to limit global warming to levels that are recommended by scientists. And then my question is, what scientists? Because there are scientists that refuted as well. And you know the G8, right? U.S., Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Canada, Russia. And they agreed to a target of reducing the carbon dioxide emissions, I think I said this, by 80% by 2050. And what they're saying is it'll stop and prevent the Earth's atmosphere from warming by more than 2 degrees. Yeah. In his own words, we'll let you hear it. Here's Obama and what he said from Italy.
This week, the G8 nations came to a historic consensus on concrete goals for reducing carbon emissions. We all agreed that by 2050, developed nations will reduce their emissions by 80%, and that we will work with all nations to cut global emissions in half. This ambitious effort is consistent with limiting global warming to no more than 2 degrees Celsius, which, as our declaration explicitly acknowledged for the first time, is what the mainstream of the scientific community has called for. Today, at the major economies forum, developed and developing nations made further and unprecedented commitments to take strong and prompt action. Developed nations committed to reducing their emissions in absolute terms, and for the first time, developing nations also acknowledged the significance of the 2 degrees Celsius metric and agreed to take action to meaningfully lower their emissions relative to business as usual in the midterm, in the next decade or so. And they agreed that between now and Copenhagen, they will negotiate concrete goals to reduce their emissions by 2050. We also agreed that the actions we take to achieve our reductions must be measurable, reportable, and verifiable. And we agreed to establish at the earliest possible date a peak year after which overall global emissions will start falling. And these are all very significant steps forward in addressing this challenge. In addition, we agreed to substantially increase financial resources to help developing nations create low-carbon growth plans and deploy clean energy technologies. We also recognize that climate change is already happening, and so we're going to have to help those affected countries adapt, particularly those who are least able to deal with its consequences because of a lack of resources. So we are looking at providing significant financial assistance to help these countries, and I want to particularly commend President Calderon of Mexico and Gordon Brown of the United Kingdom for coming up with some creative proposals that all of us are going to be exploring as to how we might finance this. We've asked the G20 finance ministers to take up the climate financing issues and report back to us at the G20 meeting in Pittsburgh in the fall. Finally, we've agreed to create a new global partnership to drive the development of transformational clean energy technologies around the world.
All right, yada, yada, yada. So you get the intention here being hailed by most as a huge win for Obama. This dovetails into what's happening, of course, in the United States. And besides including the G8 countries, it's along with Brazil and China, India, Mexico, Australia, South Africa, and obviously others. So 80% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions, that's the goal overall. Now, think of China and what they're pumping out. So China had never acknowledged the 2 degrees Celsius threshold, basically, or ever committed to reducing emissions from what their levels are. And apparently they're willing to play along with this. And you heard one of the things is accountability and to measurable ways and all this other sort of stuff to figure it out. Everybody would basically be held accountable. And ultimately, here's the thing. If this is coming and this is hitting us hard and there is no way to stop this freight train, boy, you better save up your pennies, because I'm thinking of people I know. You think of houses. Are you living in a house from the 60s? Are you living in a house from the 70s era, 80s, whatever? And ultimately, that's part of what's going to happen with our climate control bill that I don't think is going to go through the Senate, though. But that was the other part, the other shoe that would dovetail, as I was trying to say, onto this, that ultimately it affects you. It affects you because if you have to sell a house, if your relatives have to sell your house, etc., even there, because your house won't meet the standards that would be necessary according to the levels they're talking about for the environment. I mentioned this the other day, taking the infrared camera around, looking at water pressure. You're talking thousands and thousands of dollars. Now, to the simple level of talking about electricity and talking about power and gasoline, all that sort of stuff, it obviously would affect all of us, and we know that because you're going to have to play along. You're going to have an alternative, and it's going to have to be readily available, but it's going to change the rates that you're paying. And think of what you're paying. If you have a house that's over 2,000 square feet, I got to think that your electric bills, depending on where you live, could be, with the heat, et cetera, would be pretty decent, could be pretty high, right? If you're living under 2,000 square feet, maybe you're a little bit luckier. But guarantee, no matter which scenario you fall into, you're going to pay more. If you live in an apartment, you're going to pay more because you pay for your electricity. So this affects everybody across the board. And we're talking 10 years down the road, 5-10 years down the road, at the probably even before that, but at least 5 years into this game. So you just have to prepare. And this is a freight train like the Going Green movement in general that's coming right there to your neighborhood. And the bottom line is, we go back to the same thing. What is global warming? And are there, since there are scientists that refute it, what is the definitive answer to this? What is the positive proof? Okay, here's where we're at. Instead of these numbers that are being bandied about, I don't see the backup. I don't see the research for it. It's very loose at best. So you are right to question, like Steve does, certainly, to question how this has gone through and we're in this position now. Like I said, most people, not most, but a big chunk of people in America and probably elsewhere see this as a huge win for Obama. But now taking it to our shores and what our part in it is and what you're going to have to do and how you're going to be able to meet those standards, wow, look out. So what, you got to pay more for health care probably by the time they're done with health care reform. You got to pay more for energy. So that's two things that are going to go up in your life. And then who knows what else? Taxes. So then that's another one. So that's three. Ultimately, with almost 10% of people out of work, people working two and three jobs, I mean, you tell me. If you are a movie star, if you are a captain of industry, if you are a wealthy person, you can weather the storm. If you are not, you're going to have to find a way to dig up thousands of more dollars to meet these stringent requirements that ultimately are coming down the pike. Time to get a third job. Shoot me an email, americatonight.net.
Nervous?
Yes.
First time?
No, I've been nervous lots of times.